You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. We're asking you today about measures of the economy and how it's doing, whether the GDP is an accurate measure of what's going on in the economy. What do you think? What do you use to measure how the economy is doing, how the marketplace is doing? What do you look at? Is the check you get in the mail, the bonus check, or the check you win? Or how else do you measure it? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. I'm joined today by Catherine Lamfer, who is in for John Hockenberry. Catherine?
Hey, Adora. All right. OMG. Oh, my God. If you register with the Obama campaign, you could find out Barack Obama's vice presidential pick by text. Then again, how much information does the campaign already have on you, especially if you make that registration? The merger of politics, marketing, and technology is not new, but Mike Madden, a Salon.com columnist based in Washington, says the campaign's taking it to lengths we haven't seen before. Mike Madden joins us by phone this morning. Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
All right. Now, what's new here?
Well, what's new is the depth of what they're doing. You know, campaigns have always tried to find information on their supporters so they could reach them, but the Obama campaign seems to be combining a bigger supporter database with a broader range of information on everyone in it to really put together something that hasn't been seen before, especially on the Democratic side.
I was just going to say, now, this really isn't a new thing for the Republican side. Bush-Cheney in 2004... I recall, impressed a lot of people with what they were doing.
Right, that's true. What the Obama people are doing is they're doing sort of more of it online, and they're doing more of it in ways that Democrats haven't done.
Give me an example.
Well, they're buying some consumer data so that they'll know, you know, things like what magazines you subscribe to. They might know from your frequent buyer club at the grocery store what kind of foods you buy, and then they can combine that with what they already know about you from their own research, their own field work. So, you know, they've got a 5 million person email list, and if you're on that, they know what time you open your email, so that they know when to send it to you, so that it doesn't get ignored.
Hmm. And how is this taking things further? You said that it was the depth of this.
Right. Well, in the past, a lot of Democratic candidates haven't combined all their databases into one pool, whereas the Obama campaign, everything they have, they put it into one database, and then their field people can access it, and their marketing people can access it, and their online marketing people can access it. And so every little piece of information that they have all gets put into the same box. I mean, for instance, I signed up at some point with my email address on their supporters' email list so I could see what they were sending their supporters. And then I separately signed up at some point with my phone number on a press credentialing list. And the week before the Washington, D.C. primary in February, I started getting calls on my cell phone, which I'd never given the campaign as a supporter, from people here asking if I was planning to vote and did I want to come volunteer. And it took me a while to realize that they'd sort of cross-referenced the email address which I'd given them both on the supporter list and on the press list with the phone number, which they only had on the press list, and handed one off to the other.
Now, let's say that you are a consumer and you've made sure that you're on no-call lists and you want to zealously protect your privacy, but hey, you wouldn't mind finding out who the vice presidential pick is. Have you just surrendered everything when you do that?
No, I don't think you've surrendered everything. You've surrendered your cell phone number, though, which means that you probably start hearing from the campaign.
Are the guarantees they're not going to give it back to those marketers they bought information from?
Well, I guess there aren't any, you know, guarantees. They say they've got an opt-in policy, and their privacy guarantees are pretty good. But it, you know, if you don't believe that they'll follow what they say, then you don't believe they follow what they'll say.
Now, and how is the McCain campaign doing compared to the Obama campaign when it comes to this sort of merger of marketing, technology, and politics?
Well, they're using some of the techniques that Republicans had used for the past two cycles. The main difference is that they're not doing as much online, though that's in part because McCain's demographic isn't as wired, I guess, as Obama's is. But, you know, Republicans for the last couple of cycles were already doing this sort of micro-targeting. You may recall that there was some focus in 2004 on how they knew, you know, what kind of liquor their supporters drank and things like that. So McCain is doing that as well.
Given the research that you've done, then, can you draw profile? I mean, what everyday consumer purchases are going to tell you who the Obama supporter is, who the McCain supporter is?
You know, it's funny. The campaign people basically said there isn't really a magic bullet. It's more kind of a combination of things. So, you know, if you buy an iPod, that might not mean anything. But if you buy an iPod and also join the, you know, World Wildlife Federation and also live in an apartment building, then that might make you an Obama supporter. But
all right.
Isn't.
Mike Madden, I've got to go. I'm getting a text message from Femi Okeh, who does our headlines, and apparently we need to move to the news. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Mike Madden, Washington columnist for Salon.com.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.